You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, July marks the halfway point of summer in the north, and although that might be a sad realization for many, it also marks Toad Fest, the annual migration of western toads at Ross Lake Provincial Park. Thousands of tadpoles have now descended on the beaches of Ross Lake and are slowly transforming into toads, and this weekend the community gathered to celebrate those toads with the inaugural Toad Fest to ensure these tiny but important creatures get the help they need to thrive. I spoke with Rachel Cameron from BC Parks and Norma Kirby from the Northern Amphibious Naturalist Society about why Western toads are just great. Stay with us.
My name is Rachel Cameron. I work for BC Parks as a community liaison.
Great, Rachel. And where are we right now?
So right now we're at Ross Lake, which is situated on the traditional territory of the Gitxsan people and the Spoke House. So yeah, we're at Ross Lake and we're celebrating Toad Fest event, which is the first annual event of its kind. And we're here to learn a bit more about the western toad species and amphibians as a whole and why they're so significant, specifically at Ross Lake. So for people who've been to Ross Lake before, everybody knows that it's got some really great recreational opportunities. The accessibility at this park is like pretty recently redone. There's amazing docks, there's amazing fishing. It's a great spot to be, but one spot that's pretty underexplored and unknown is the western toad population. And Ross Lake is a huge spot for it. We have amazing habitat for western toads here with the wetlands and the nearby forested area. We have a stunning population here, which is pretty huge in respect to the surrounding area. And so every year we have two migrations of the toads. There's the adult migration and there's the toadlet migration. And today we're actually at a great timing because the toadlets are just coming out of the water and they're about to migrate into the forested area. And so we're here today with the Northern Amphibian Naturalist Society, the Kitimat Valley Naturalists, a Rasha Interpretive Group, BC Parks, and some folks from Gitxsan are here as well. And we're trying to just hammer through the importance of stewardship of amphibians and why we want to protect them, especially going into our access restrictions that we'll be having in the park, which will be happening for around 2 weeks, and it's primed for peak toadlet migration time frame. So it'll be sometime in the next month we're going to implement that. So basically it's a day of learning and just a day of getting to interact with people and learn more about the toads before we limit access to the park, basically, to try and prevent any human-caused impacts to the toads, basically. Yeah.
I guess, how important are the western toads here, and not just in the park, but in the region?
Totally, yeah. So western toads in BC, they're endangered. At risk, up north, they're not necessarily as endangered as down south. They're quite protected down there. Up here, we would say that the populations are doing a bit better, but then again, we don't fully know at this point. We haven't put too much time into monitoring them throughout the years, and we don't have too much data at this point. Yeah. And that's why folks like the Northern Amphibian Naturalist Society, they do such amazing work. They're like taking a really strong lead with monitoring amphibians around the area. And so the western toads are listed as at risk up north. So there's still a species to look out for. We want to be doing what we can, and we just don't have a full understanding of what human impacts might be doing to them. Yeah. So basically the main concern at Ross Lake is the toadlets get driven over quite a bit. Anytime they're on the road, people think that they could see them, but if you see them here in person today, they're about like this big, like a fingernail size basically. And so it's really hard to see on the road and it's really easy to run them over. Mm-hmm. So that's the main concern. And then also people stepping on them and picking them up in buckets with their kids. And so we want to be doing our part to make sure that we're preserving the population, because we just don't have a full understanding year to year what happens with the population.
Yeah. It's quite remarkable. It looks like there's millions in there.
Yeah.
And millions of tiny toads that are coming up onto the shore now, but also when they're tadpoles, they look like they're covering everywhere on the shoreline, and a big black cloud.
Yeah. Totally.
So tell us a little bit about the biology of these toads. How does it start out? And I guess coupled with that, why is it happening here at Ross Lake of all places?
Yeah, so that'd be a great question for our naturalists who might be a bit more versed. I'm happy to share my piece that I have learned from those folks mainly. But yeah, Ross Lake is a great spot. The main thing they look for is sunny areas for laying the egg masses. The western toad eggs get laid in strings that can be up to 20 meters long, I believe. So it's pretty crazy when you think in respect to the size of the actual toad that's laying them. So you can tell they need quite a bit of real estate to do something like that. They tend to lay the eggs in like reedy areas, is my understanding. And so Ross Lake is a great spot for that. You can tell it has like wetlands all around the lake, and there's also kind of spots of different protection. And so there's like inlets where it's a bit easier for the eggs to survive, kind of thing. Main thing with western toads is that they'll lay thousands and thousands of eggs, I think up to like 20,000, I believe, and maybe like a small percentage of that will actually make it to survival in the toadlet after the migration. And so it's amazing to see the sheer quantity of toadlets and tadpoles that you're seeing here today, but definitely not that many of them will survive. And so that kind of emphasizes some of the importance of doing what we can to make sure that they will survive.
Once the toadlets migrate, where do they go and where do they live the rest of their adult life?
Yeah, so Ross Lake is also just really well situated for that, because this whole side of the park here, it's a really great forested area. And so it provides really great foraging for them, shelter. Toads tend to burrow for their habitat. And so, yeah, this kind of preserved forest area that's part of the park is just a great spot for the toads to be throughout the winter.
Just the last thing for you, if there are a couple of things that you want folks to know so they can take care and help the western toads, what would that be?
Yeah, I'd say just be aware of your surroundings. We don't have the access restrictions in place for the full toadlet migration because we know how important this park is to people recreationally. We want to be able to have it open as well. But just making sure you're watching where you're stepping, not stepping on any toadlets. Again, if you're by the shoreline, don't pick up any toads in buckets. And same as the roadways, we ask that you keep your speed down as slow as possible so that if you see any adult toads, you can avoid them. Obviously, an adult toad is a much higher impact for a death than a toadlet would be. So those are our main asks for people, and just being respectful of the environment and this natural space that we're all trying to be stewards of.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for coming out today. We're super happy to have you.
Happy Toad Fest.
Happy Toad Fest. Woo.
My name is Marissa Chambers, and I work for the Buck Creek Hatchery and Nature Center in Houston, but we are at Ross Lake today, BC Parks, learning about the western toad and its life cycle and the many tadpoles that are here right now.
Maybe you can just explain to me, what's going on here? We've seen tadpoles here developing for a few weeks, and so what's happening today finally?
So the tadpoles, depending on the temperature, they develop at different rates, but they start to develop their back legs first and then their front legs, and then they crawl out onto the shore as what's called toadlets that can be as small as 6 millimeters long, which is tiny. And then they go on a journey into the forest because toads don't actually live by the lakes. So they journey into the forest. And so they've got a long ways to go, but they were here getting to see them kind of in those transition stages.
Yeah. What do you love about toads?
I have learned a lot in the last week about toads, and they're just really cool to get to see the development of the stages so clearly. Like, we learn about metamorphosis so often with butterflies and things, which is a cool process, but you can't actually see it happen in the chrysalis. Whereas with toads, you get to see it happening right before your eyes.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
My name is Norma Kirby, and I'm with the Northern Amphibians Naturalist Society. So we're a group that citizen science monitors amphibians from Fort Fraser through to Digby Island on the coast.
Lovely territory.
Very nice.
Norma, I know today is Toad Fest here at Ross Lake, and it's a big western toad colony that we have here. But tell me a little bit about, what is the western toad? What should people know about it?
The western toad is not a frog, which is important. It's very susceptible to being extirpated, like killed off in an area, because it migrates twice a year. So the adults migrate out of the forest from their hibernation areas. So they hibernate in the wintertime in burrows underneath the ground. and they migrate down to their breeding ponds. And so great source of mortality is trying to get to the breeding pond, especially if they have to cross roads. So if you're a big female toad and you're 10 centimeters across full of eggs, you aren't moving very quickly. So that's number one problem. Then they sort of communally get together, breed, lay strings of eggs, and sometimes up to 50 females will lay their strings of eggs overlapped with one another, which is rather interesting, right? So then the eggs hatch within 3 to about 3 weeks, days depending on temperature, and the tadpoles, which are very quite small, like about a centimeter big, the black tadpoles form communal groups that swim around together. They're chemically attracted to one another, and it's a method of avoiding predation.
Oh, wow.
Lots of things like to eat them, fish, yeah. Robins,
amazing.
The things. Then they undergo metamorphosis, become tadpoles, and when the metamorphs form their legs and lose their tail, then they become toadlets. So this is what the celebration is about, that you've got hundreds and hundreds of little tiny, very almost, you know, centimeter, centimeter and a half big toadlets, which now are leaving the lake and trying to get into the forest, right, to survive. And they've got to go across open areas. They've got to go across roads. They say that 1 in 1,000 toadlets will ever become a breeding adult. So this is a celebration of the western toad. The western toad people should be very grateful to, because they're great insect eaters. And they're also called ecosystem engineers, because they will excavate burrows into the ground, and so therefore turn over the soil, turn over the loose material too. Or they use pre-existing burrows and passageways in the forest. But they are a standard throughout northern BC and central BC. And you can tell it's a toad and not a frog. And I don't know why so many people say, oh, that's a frog. Because a toad is squat, has shorter back legs, its hind feet aren't webbed, right? And its eyes sit flat on the top, whereas the frog's eyes sit so that they protrude up so that the frog can hang out just below the water level and watch whatever's going on. Toads aren't like that. And then toads have warts on their back, which if your dog decides it's going to eat a toad, your dog's mouth is going to foam up because they secrete a poison. It's not as bad as a rough-skinned newt, which is deadly poison, but it's enough to chase predators away unless they flip them over, and then there's lots of troubles with that.
No doubt.
Yes.
Wow, Norma, thanks so much. I definitely am now incited about toads. What's your favorite thing about amphibians or even the western toad?
They're like looking back into history, right? The history of the earth. So amphibians have been around for millions of years, yet they're still here. And so it's their ability to survive all the changes and keep going. That's what I admire the most about them. Their biggest susceptibility is that they absorb things through their skin. They don't have scales. They don't have skin like ours. They actually absorb materials through their skin. If you have amphibians in your yard, then your yard is usually chemically healthy.
Okay. Norma, thanks so much. Enjoy Toad Fest.
You're welcome, Dan.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.